Let us once again open the letter of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And we shall read from verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And the title this evening is, They Called Me Calvinist. I said, I am a Christian. They called me Calvinist, and I said, I am a Christian. Well, I have to tell you something about myself before I move into the main text of what we read. I was born again of the Holy Spirit 3 decades ago on 10th of March. This year it will be 36 years. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic family. I never heard about Calvin. Well, we did not even read the Bible during our family prayer. We prayed the rosary. And then I went to become a priest in my seminary days for 6.5 years. I never heard about Calvin. And then by God's grace, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me and brought me into his kingdom. I began to worship with the Pentecostal church. Each Lord's Day, I heard the salvation message. In my conversation with my pastor, I never heard about Calvin. The messages were about the Lord Jesus Christ who saves from sin and destruction. Nothing about Calvin. In the very early years of my conversion, the Lord God opened doors to preach in my mother tongue with Transworld Radio. And here too, I never heard about Calvin. And as the news spread in my town about my conversion, the Roman Catholics called me Jehovah Witness. They also called me Protestants. And some even went so far as to call me Communist. But most of them would say, he has stopped believing in Mary. Now, when I went to preach among the Hindu villages, they called me Christian, and I liked that. The disciples of Jesus were first called Christian by the unbelieving people at Antioch. They called the followers of Christ Christians. However, few weeks ago, after following Christ for almost 36 years, I was called a Calvinist by born-again Christians. When I was preaching, well, the question we got to ask is, was I preaching Calvin on the high street of Harrow? Did Calvin save me from my sins? Did Calvin forgive my sins and give me new life? Did Calvin give me the assurance of eternal life? Did Calvin suffer and die for my sins? Did he transform my life and taught me to love God's word? Not at all. As I said, I never knew Calvin, never heard about Calvin. It was only in the late 1997 into 1998, 10 years of my redemption, after 10 years of my redemption, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that I heard about Calvin. And there are many things we can learn from him, as we can learn from numerous other godly men of the past and of the present. For example, I have learned a lot from Pastor Dr. Peter Masters of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. If John Calvin is the faithful teacher of the Word of God, then I am with him. If Jacobus Arminius is a faithful teacher of the Word of God, then I am with him too. And during the first 10 years of my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew for certain one thing, that it was not me that made any attempt to walk righteously, nor did I make any prayer that the Lord should give me salvation, nor did I make a prayer of commitment to Christ Jesus. That particular day, when the Word of God was preached to me personally, directly, it went over my head. It did not create any interest in me in the things of God. But as I walked out of the prayer meeting that late afternoon, a prayer came from the depth of my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, if you are truly alive, hook me now or forget about it. Did I premeditate on this prayer? No. It was sudden, without giving a thought. That night, the Lord truly came into my heart. He gave me peace, and I began to read the Bible, and the Word of God became alive to me. The Holy Spirit broke my sinful habits. They were gone instantly. I came to believe that what Jesus says about himself in the Bible is absolutely true. I believe that Jesus is truly risen from the dead and is alive. It was nothing of me that saved me. It was all of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one more thing that I became certain about without anyone teaching me, and that is, I cannot work out my salvation with my own efforts. I reasoned, if I can and could do this, what is the difference between other religions and Christ Jesus? I reasoned, if I can save myself, if I can decide to commit my life to God and make my way to heaven, then what is the need of God sending Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sins? During the 35 years of my life as a Roman Catholic, I did believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus. I did say, I'm sorry for my sins, but I continued sinning. I realized that I had faith, but it was a natural faith without being accompanied by the grace of God, without being sealed by the Holy Spirit. I realized that the faith I had was taught by the traditions and believed in the flesh. It was a dead faith. A dead man can only produce a faith that is dead. I want to tell you that I am not a Calvinist, but a Christian, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a born-again Christian, born of the Holy Spirit, born of God. The Word of God testifies, saying, you are saved by grace through faith. So, dear brethren, what was I before, being born again of the Holy Spirit? I was dead. I was dead. I was spiritually dead. the scripture teaches that all the people that are born on this earth are spiritually dead. The scripture also teaches us that all are spiritually blind. Besides, all those that are born on this earth are born in ignorance of the truth of God, Christ, and about salvation. Now, this is the most important thing to remember for those that call themselves Calvinist, Arminius, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, or any, whatever your persuasions may be. The scripture tells us very plainly and clearly that before a person's conversion to Christ, all people are dead in trespasses and sins. The word of God says to the born-again Christians, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and if you can look at it, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You were dead, the scripture says. Before Jesus Christ saves a person, all are dead. And dead here means really dead. Dead means one that has breathed his last. It means deceased. It means inactive, inoperative, and destitute of force or power. A dead person has no strength to make himself alive to God. A dead person has no strength or will to make himself spiritually alive. Well, twice in this chapter, we are reminded that before the Lord Jesus Christ converts us, we were dead. Look at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." By grace ye are saved. The word of God is telling us that we are all spiritually dead. This means we are born on this earth spiritually dead. Did God not say to Adam? Did he not say to Adam, "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." You shall die. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they ate of the tree that God had forbidden them to eat. They died. First, they died spiritually, and by, they died physically. The moment they rebelled against God, they became spiritually empty. Their spiritual relationship with God was cut off. They were separated from God. We must remember and understand what God is telling us. God is saying that everyone born on this earth are dead in their trespasses and sins. As the scripture tells us, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the word of God tells us that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For as in Adam, all die. And this is taken from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. "There is not one righteous," the Lord says, "not one." This, according to God, is the condition of all human beings. All men are dead in their sins. Now, being born spiritually dead, we grow up not knowing the true and living God. We grow up being separated from God. Our life is spent in ignorance, and we have no knowledge about God. We walk in blindness. We try to figure out the truth. We try it out. We try to imagine this or that is the truth. We construct a religion of our own around this imaginative truth. This is another description that the scripture gives about mankind. The word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see, such being the state of our souls, ignorance, blindness, and darkness. Some worship idols. Others worship the dead spirits of the ancestors. Yet others worship the sun and the moon and the constellations in the sky. Along with it, they worship the trees and everything in it. They call it the universal spirit. They do not have interpersonal relationship with that spirit. People even worship the demons and Satan, the father of lies, the murderer. And all this is done in blindness and ignorance with the belief that this is the true God. Again, the scripture makes it known to us that before our conversion, before being born of the Holy Spirit, all of us walk in the lust of the flesh. Before our conversion, before being born again, we live with our carnal mind. The Bible says to walk with carnal mind is death. So here again, we are reminded that our very nature is carnal, and being carnal, we are spiritually dead. And being spiritually dead, we cannot make ourselves subject to the law of God. Now, this is very important to understand. Being dead, it means we cannot obey God. We cannot submit ourselves to the commands, to the laws of God. This is what Romans chapter 8 says. We cannot understand nor love the commands of the Lord. We do not have the will nor strength to obey the commands of the Lord. That is why we all break the commands of the Lord. In fact, we don't even know or remember the commands of the Lord. We are not interested. And we find the commands of the Lord burdensome. We find it offensive. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Very powerful statement from the Lord. Since we have no strength to submit ourselves to the commands of the Lord, we lie, we rob, we dishonor our parents, we rebel against the godly authorities, we murder, we hate, we cheat, we quarrel, we boast, we are filled with pride, we fornicate and commit adultery. We even make drugs and alcohol our gods. We make war and we covet. We grab and we want more than what we require. And such being the case, we cannot put our faith in God. We cannot please God. We walk in unbelief. It becomes clearly evident that the spiritually dead man does not have the strength to submit himself or herself to the mind and the will of God. He is dead. Well, now beside being dead, ignorant, in darkness, blind, and carnally minded, the Word of God says we are slaves of sin. Before our conversion to Christ, we are slaves of sins. The Word of God says that before, as I said, we are converted to Christ, we are the slaves of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 onward. For when we were the servants of sin, that is, meaning slaves of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. For the wages of sin is death. So being born spiritually dead in the things of God, we live as the slaves of sin. And we are not ashamed of it. We are chained to the life of sin. Being carnally minded, we are dead. And being slaves of sin, we are dead. We live a spiritually dead life, and we enter into eternal death if God does not quicken us by his Spirit and give us life. Without God giving us the life in the Holy Spirit, dear friends, we remain dead for eternity. Eternity. It is because we have no life of God in us that we live a life which is spiritually dead. It is because we do not have the life of God in us that we live a carnal life. And it is because we do not have the Spirit of God in us that we are become slaves of sin, the slaves of the god of this world, that is Satan. Satan has blinded the minds of the people. Dear friends, brethren, this is our desperate condition. We are depraved. We are immoral. We are unholy. We are sunk in the sea of unbelief. Being born in Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jews, Buddhist, or Sikh family does not make us the children of God. Children of God must be born of God and not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. And this is what the Bible teaches us in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. The Bible says that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. Now, many people think, even born-again Christian think, that we can be born of God by our own will. They do agree, especially the Christians, born-again Christian, they do agree that just because we are born in a Christian family does not give us an automatic access to salvation. But they say that anyone can be born of God, can be saved by the will of our flesh, by the will of our mind. In other words, we can decide to get saved. They say we can put our faith in Jesus by our own mind and by our own strength. And when we hear and learn that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life, we can put our faith in him by our understanding and by our strength. Now listen to this. We heard that the Word of God says, you are dead. If you are dead, spiritually dead, how can you make a decision by your own strength, by your own mind, and by your own will? A dead man does not have any willpower. A dead man has no knowledge of the truth about God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is dead. A dead man is worse than a blind man. The dead person is in eternal darkness about the things of God. A dead man has no strength to submit and to believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe is to obey, but a dead man cannot obey. He is dead. He cannot hear, and he cannot think, and he cannot make a decision to follow Jesus. A dead man cannot give up what he is. He cannot renew himself. A dead man cannot break the chains of captivity. A dead man is a slave of death. So what has brought death to all of us? It is sin. Sin is slavery. Sin is death. Sin is grave. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and are cut off from the relationship with the holy and righteous God. God says through Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Look, we don't even know how desperately wicked we are and how deceitful you and I are. The Lord God compares our spiritual life to dead bones, to skeletons. God shows prophet Ezekiel a valley, and in the valley were full of bones. They were dry. They were dry. This is in Ezekiel chapter 37. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Dear friends, we are those dry bones, skeletons. Can we live? Can we become alive by our own power? Bones have no muscles. Bones have no organs. Bones have no flesh. Bones cannot move by itself. Skeleton cannot have any power. But look, the Lord says, I will speak my word to them, and I will cause my breath to enter into them, and they shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in them, and they shall live, and I will make them into one nation. Not two, as the Gentiles and the Jews, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, but they will become one. For they will come alive with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, the Lord says, I will give them one king. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that will make alive the dead among the Jews and the dead among the Gentiles and become their everlasting king. What type of life will they live? Being born of the Holy Spirit now. The Lord God continues to say in Ezekiel chapter 37, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. To be saved, there must be a miracle. And only God can work that miracle. Dear friends, dear brethren, the Word of God teaches us that God is sovereign. The total work of salvation of man is of God from the beginning till the end. Without the Lord God, our salvation can never begin. It can never be sustained. It can never be complete. Look, just reflect upon the three births that a saved person goes through. It is the Lord that gives us life in our wombs. This is our natural birth, our first birth, our physical birth. Did we have any say in it? Did we even know that we were going to be born on this earth on certain day to certain parents? In the same way, we know nothing about spiritual birth until we are born again of God. We were dead in our sins, but God gives us a new birth. We become born of the Holy Spirit. We neither have any say when we are born in the flesh, nor do we have any say when we are born in the Spirit. It is all of God. To be born again is to receive new life. And life, all life, comes from God and God alone. And then finally, we will have no say in the resurrection of the dead. Remember Lazarus? He was dead for 4 days. There was nothing remaining of him. He was corrupted and decayed. Yet Jesus called out by name, and Lazarus came out alive, as fresh as a newborn baby. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So again, our resurrected life will be given by God. All life comes from God. The Lord is the author of life. We are physically brought to life by Him. We are spiritually brought to life by Him. And being in the grave, we will be brought to life again by Him. Dear friends, we got to depend on the Lord. The Lord wants us to come to Him, humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, we do not have this spiritual life. We thank you for the birth that you gave to us, the life that you gave to us by being born of our parents. But Lord, that is not enough for salvation. That is not enough to be with you forever. We want that spiritual life. Make us born again of that Spirit, your Spirit. So dear friends, we got to depend upon Him. He is our sovereign God. To Him be glory, honor, and power forever and ever. We shall continue with this topic the next time, God willing. Let us pray. O gracious Father, indeed, O Lord, we see the whole world running after different thing. The world has one view, but Lord, your view are different. O gracious Lord our God, we can examine our own selves and ask ourselves, we are now 20 years old, or 40 or 80 or 90 years old, why then I do not have this deep relationship with Thee? Why then, Lord, my sins are not forgiven? Why then, Lord, I cannot understand Your word? Why do I fall all the time in sin? The Lord will answer, O Lord our God, we pray that we will understand Thy word is truth. Thou art not a liar. Thou art the sovereign God. Help us to humble ourselves before Thee and submit ourselves to Thee, that Thou may give us Thy Spirit, and we, O Lord, will be able to please Thee in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.